Yo, how's it going? It's Thursday, January 31st, 2013, and this is the 8th episode of Social Echoes, the True Voice Media podcast. If you're ready to go, let's get rolling. Hi there, hope you're having a great week. My name is John Steyer, and I'm the host of Social Echoes. Thank you again for listening into our podcast. It's one of the fun things we get to do each week. So we're excited to bring in our guest, Christina Raimundo, in just a second. But before we get started, I wanted to talk about BlackBerry. So BlackBerry yesterday released two new phones. The main one that they released, not the main one, but the big one that got kind of all the hoopla was the Z10. But the other thing was that they named Alicia Keys the creative director. And that was quite a rabbit that they had to pull out of their hat. Regardless of if you like her music or not, she is an artist, and BlackBerry and Research in Motion are obviously trying to associate themselves with creatives and identify their product as progressive and worthy of the cultural elite. So whether or not this PR move is successful relies a lot upon the big-name apps they're able to pull out. Supposedly, Instagram is in the works, and they've been able to get WhatsApp and a couple other big names, and some of the ways that they've been kind of trying to pull in some of the different developers has been not shady by any means, but they've been going above and beyond what the developers need for them to go ahead and develop for BlackBerry. But the big thing is, will mobile users, will they throw away, not so much throw away, but go away from iPhone? Will they go away from Android, even Windows Phone, to go back to BlackBerry? That's a big question. Is BlackBerry the MySpace of the mobile industry? There's a lot to consider moving forward, and who will and won't buy what they're selling. America is a two-party country, and it is also a two-party mobile country for iOS and Android. So maybe the Z10 will be the Ron Paul of the divided mobile nation. We shall see, but I should say this. You get a free Z10 with every new Alicia Keys album sold. So with that said, let's get to our guest, Christina Raimundo. She is the Operation Social Santa social media coordinator and is a LEAP liaison and was president of the organization for 2 years at Penn State Abington. She is a corporate communications student in her final semester at Penn State Abington. Christina, welcome to Social Echoes.
Thanks, John.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. So, Christina, one of the reasons that I asked you on the podcast was because you are obviously still a current student. And what year did you enter Penn State?
Fall of 2009.
Okay. So, when you entered as a freshman, there were brands already using Facebook, Twitter, they had corporate blogs, and everyone was kind of talking about getting involved in the conversation. Right. From your perspective, what has kind of shifted in those 4 years, just from where you have been as a student?
I think when I first started here in fall 2009, I think I personally had just gotten a Facebook the year prior, so I would say 2008. Everyone had one here. Usually it was a thing, like you had a Facebook, you would use it to share photos. As far as organizations using it on campus, I don't think, just personally, LEAP used it a lot. I know we had a fan page, but it may not have been extremely active. Then end of that year, we actually put in a new position called multimedia director, which is where I think for us, social media started, you know, getting bigger on our end, and required someone who needed to dedicate their full position to it. And now we're in full swing. We recently got something we call Get Connected at Penn State Abington, which is kind of a student's Facebook type thing. The homepage has kind of like a virtual cork board where we put all our flyers, news that you can get. You link your Facebook profiles, your Twitter profiles, social media profiles that you have to that specific page. So now it's like it's grabbed us by the horns, basically, and we're using it all the time. So probably 100% of our time, maybe like 97 to be exact, is used towards social media.
97% of the time.
I could be, I could
I'm
be
just not. I'm not.
a
I'm
little
not.
bit, but
I'm not trying to call your bluff. I'm just saying that's a pretty significant number. Do you follow all the different Penn State channels in terms of like if they had an Instagram or a Facebook, Twitter? Do you follow all those different channels for Penn State?
I don't know if we have an Instagram. We might. I do not follow it. I know we have a Twitter, but I do not follow that as often as I follow their Facebook page, because that kind of gives us everything going on campus, events, alumni events, quotes, that kind of, if we're having a bad day, lift us up a little bit. Most importantly for us, school closings or school delays. So that's, I think, where most of our focus as students, I think, goes to is our Facebook page.
So it's obviously a really great resource for students to kind of understand where Penn State is in terms of the different goings on for the college, not just for university functions, but also different policies that will affect courses, grades, sign-ups
Exactly.
for different things. So it becomes a really great utility.
Yeah, it's a great way just to reach us all in one shot. Well, most of us anyway that have Facebooks and are linked to that account. It's just very simple just to kind of get the word out and have us all look at it. I mean, we all check our Facebook, so kind of as much as we check our email, we check our Facebook. So it's a great way to just get the word out to us in a very simple manner.
So from a student standpoint, which network is getting the most attention? I know that you just mentioned Facebook and email, but is there anything aside from those two that you would kind of say is the king of the castle?
Aside from those two, I don't know. I guess Twitter on our campus would probably be the second to Facebook. I will say Facebook is kind of our king of the castle on campus. Every club has a Facebook page or encouraged to like it. We use it for our documents. Just if we have like an internal group, we do our documents through there. But outside of Facebook and our email, I would say Twitter. But Facebook definitely takes that number one spot on our campus.
Would you say that Twitter then, if that is then the most popular network on campus, would you say that's the one that's going to get students to kind of fulfill a call to action more so than maybe Facebook?
For call to action, I would still stick with Facebook. I mean, I don't see, personally, I don't see people checking their Twitter or tweeting as much as they go on Facebook. I mean, if you catch anyone at a computer, if they have a link open to do homework, it's usually like that link or that web page, and then the other one will be their Facebook, kind of updating or chatting with friends. Same thing with student organizations. Our call to action is usually through Facebook. Just today, we had an event going on. You post that picture and that status 5 minutes before or 15 minutes before. You just have it on a consistent loop of this is what we're doing, this is how we're getting the word out. Just because we know our population and we know that we have a thing where you check your email as much as you check your Facebook. So when you check your Facebook, you should go check your email. So we know if people are thinking about our campus and thinking about, my classes or what's going on today or what emails do I have, the same time they're checking their Facebook. So it's a great way to kind of just connect the two in one shot.
So, how about for you personally? Are you when you check these different things, are you more likely to check via mobile, or are you going to wait until you're going to get back to your laptop, your desktop, whatever, and then kind of take the same question and apply it to the student body? What are they going to do? Are they going to check mobile, or are they going to wait until laptop? I think I already kind of know the answer, but.
Yeah, I don't think we're very patient when it comes to social media or checking things that are going on. I mean, if I'm on my laptop, then I'm usually using my laptop. But I mean, let's just say I'm doing homework on my laptop and a message comes up on Facebook, I'll look at my phone before I actually turn to the other web page. I think even if we're in classes, we're all glued to our phones or on our desk, and we're just, if we get a notification, we're checking that notification. So I don't think waiting is even a question for me personally, and I think for the campus as well. It's just that social media has gotten us so used to, I think, a just consistent conversation. So you check it when you can, you post your thoughts when you can. It's not a matter of, well, let me get through this hour where I don't have my laptop and I'll wait till I get back. No, if you have a smartphone, you are doing that on your smartphone no matter where you are. So I don't think we even question or even think of the word wait till I get to my desktop or my laptop. It's definitely on our phones.
So you mentioned also homework, and I'm just curious how much have you been doing, just not just homework, but also work for your different student-run organizations and peer-to-peer groups. How much has mobile been a factor in that? Like, how much of the collaboration occurs on your smartphones?
Just today, I actually typed up a study guide for an exam I had on my laptop, studied off of my mobile device. I didn't open my laptop just because it's smaller, it's more convenient. I can walk around with it. If I'm in a lunch line, I'm studying off of my mobile device. I think it's a lot easier for us. I know a lot of people have, if they don't have it on their mobile, have some sort of, iPad, Android, tablet, some kind of thing where they can just walk around with it. As far as work goes, I actually intern in the student life office. So I take care of their Facebook page and I'm on my laptop 24/7. But I mean, if I have to respond to posts on the student life Facebook page or post anything for events, that's all mobile. I'm not going to walk around in the hallways with my laptop, of course. But I think mobile's definitely taking over for us, especially if we don't have an outlet to recharge our laptop or, they're just heavier to carry around, so why not carry your phone if it can do the same thing? Or practically the same thing.
Right, yeah. How about for the different, let's take a step back from the actual social networks, but just how work is getting done from a mobile standpoint and just from a student-run collaboration kind of point of view. What are some of the different tools that you guys have been using in the cloud or when you get together for a brainstorming project or something? How is everybody kind of contributing online, and that way you can kind of work simultaneously?
On campus, we have something we like to call Angel, or for those of you familiar with Blackboard, it's kind of the same concept. It's basically something where we even upload assignments to. You can upload via your mobile device or laptop, etc. As far as student organizations brainstorming goes, I know I used Prezi. I don't know if you're familiar with Prezi,
Yep, I'm
but
familiar
we,
present.
yeah, so you can have all hands in the pot at the same time with that one. We made some kind of web where we're brainstorming, I think, marketing ideas. And it was like, I had suggested, why not have all hands in the pot at the same time? We can all move around. We see what each other is doing. So that's, as far as collaboration goes, I thought that worked really well. With classes, it's mostly that Angel concept. Some professors, like getting things physically. A lot of them encourage, especially IT, IST professors or information systems and technology. We use the cloud a lot, just uploading things, sending it that way. So not a lot of, it's kind of 50-50, I guess, on our campus, whether you use the cloud or are able to get to a conversation thread through mobile or if they just want you to do it in class instead. So it's definitely depends on the professor class-wise. Student organization-wise, it's most of the time it's online or some kind of way where sooner or later we're going to have to get it up online.
Have professors been getting kind of more easygoing with some more online technologies and allowing students to kind of participate virtually or send in assignments virtually? I know that even when I was in school, certainly everybody was, you can send it to me via email. Certainly wasn't, you can find me on Facebook or you can tweet to me if you have a question. There was nothing like that. But do you think that, just in your experience, do you think that some of your professors are getting a little bit more savvy with how their students are kind of working?
Definitely depends on the professor. I mean, you do have those who just want to stick to their ways. Like, technology may just not be their thing, or they don't really have the time to throw themselves into it as much as we do. I know IST professors, again, all about the online stuff. Some are even available through GChat. I had one the other, a friend who told me the other day, I had a question about IST, and they're just like, message him through GChat, which is definitely, that side of, yeah, technology is great. Use it as much as you can. As far as there's definitely those in the middle. One of my classes, we didn't have a tech room and she needed the laptop to connect like PowerPoints or videos that she's showing us. And she was very surprised that not all classes were tech rooms, that there are still those classes that just have, a blackboard and chalk. And then to get the internet connection, you roll in a little cart with the laptop in and you have a projector that cues it up to, cues it up to the screen, and that's how you work. But I think it's definitely the comfort level of the professor on how comfortable they are with technology, where they're at, and then I guess how much students are willing to maybe teach the professor things that they may not know, just bring it up in class. For example, last semester, a student brought up a way to turn in papers online, and then the professor can actually correct them online. And we can see it immediately after she did her corrections versus waiting a week till the next class and getting the physical corrections, which some of us liked and some of us didn't. But again, it's definitely the comfort level and the preference of the professor.
So it was kind of like a Google Docs type thing.
If you're referencing Angel, yes.
Yes. So let's take some of the different things, the different lessons that you've learned from running your student organizations and things you've learned in school. You're getting to the end of your undergraduate career. So let's look forward to, graduation and also getting a job.
Scary.
It can be, and I remember, just kind of like that daunting feeling of, man, where to look now? Like, what do you do? So before I kind of ask, like, how do you apply some of the different lessons, I want to ask, how are you being prepped to kind of, broadcast or kind of share yourself with the world through social media? How are you and your peers getting set and getting your profiles ready for the professional world?
Ours is when you're getting to graduate. If you don't have a LinkedIn, we're highly suggested to get one. It's just a huge thing. As far as the social media world, I think what a lot of college students don't realize, and what I think those who are more involved, I think, are open more to, is careful what you post, or what you're posting, the content, just what you're saying online, I think, is a huge lesson for us, or myself, as I'm getting ready to get out into the real world. It's just that it never goes away. Which, say, we had on campus Damon John from Shark Tank. I don't know if you are familiar with him. He came on and he was talking about social media, and he said, careful what you post, it never goes away. If I'm an employer, that's what I'm going to look for. And just if I see content that, I wouldn't approve of, then I'm not going to hire you. So I think those are the two biggest things. Is one, in general, make an online presence is what we're told a lot, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, a Google Plus profile. Just get your name out there, a blog. It's very simple, just to put yourself out there and just get yourself noticed. Of course, in the right way, which gets back to careful what you like, the content. Just putting your personal life online, it never goes away, so be very careful. So I think those and LinkedIn are ones that very, hit at my mind a lot before graduation.
How about some of the different profiles? Some of the ones that come to mind or come from the blog, Corn on the Job. Different campaigns people have had for, like, Chipotle, hire me, and all these little different people that are kind of coming out of school or they're transitioning into a different workspace or different industry, kind of like pursuing their dream job. They're creating different profiles or creating websites, blogs, and kind of explaining how this is the reason why you should hire me. Are any of your professors kind of even acknowledging it, or maybe even telling you to kind of get really creative?
That's funny. This is the first time I'm hearing of that. I mean, it's a great idea, I guess. But no, to be honest, I've never heard of being that specific in, hey, such and such company, check me out. It's more of just making a general online presence. But they've never actually said, post about the company you want to work for, which, now that I hear about it, is a great idea. If they see that on any social media profile you have. So yeah, no, none of the professors have actually brought that up personally. So I'm not really sure what the others get, but yeah, this is the first I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, the one I saw yesterday actually was a guy had created an entire Amazon, like, it basically, how when you log on to an Amazon page and you see the picture of the image that you were searching for, the book, the shoe,
Right.
whatever, and it actually has the description. So it had his name, his background, where he went to school, the different jobs that he had, the titles, where he was experienced in, the different combinations of, like, products you could buy. And he had it down pat, and somebody, of course, then trolled on him and said, well, you got the one little thing wrong. And it wasn't about that one little star that he missed on. It was the fact that he had an idea. He wanted to work for Amazon. He said, listen, this is how I can attract myself to Amazon. This is how I can get Amazon to notice me. And basically, I think that's kind of like what it all comes down to is how do you rise above the competition, and how do you rise above the other people that are coming out at the same time and saying, I want to work in social media too. I want to, you know, I want to work for this company and be their next, you know, big business development manager, whatever. I think that there is a lot of opportunity for your generation, and not that we're in the same generation, what am I even saying? A lot of opportunity for our generation to kind of go ahead and do those different creative things, because the only thing that's really stopping us is kind of what we would stop ourselves from doing. So it's very interesting to kind of see what different people are doing to get themselves noticed to do the work that they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because my IST classes or IT classes here will encourage you to get yourself out there in that creative manner. Whereas if you go to, you know, the communication classes or the business classes, it's more about your resume, which is great. But I mean, everyone does a resume. I think we're forgetting to go that extra step, that extra mile to do something different. I think everybody right now is used to an 8x11 piece of paper that says your name, your qualifications, etc. But why not show them? And I think doing that is great, but I'm even surprised that it wasn't brought up to my attention here, because it's just so, I think, like you said, our generation, I think people almost expect it from us to kind of do those bold things that normally, you know, a resume doesn't really get across. Again, it's just a piece of paper. So I think after hearing that, anyone watching this, at least who's in my shoes getting ready to graduate, should definitely take that idea and run with it and think of a creative way to get their name out there like that. It's very bold. I mean, it's great. I'm surprised someone actually did it, because it's something I've never heard of, and it's such a bold move.
It dances on the edge of it is creative. It dances on the knife of creativity. You know, you're dancing on that blade, and it's very fine, obviously. And if you mess up or whatever, then I don't really know. I mean, there's just kind of, there's no, it's new territory. There's no rules in terms of that sense. So if you have a dream passion where you want to go out and work for Nike, if you were to somehow create a resume that it was a physical resume, like you actually made like a shoe or something, how are you going to make a shoe? I don't know. But if you can probably do the shoebox pretty well, you know, just different creative ideas or whatever. But anyway, to kind of come back to my other question. So taking the different lessons that you've had from Lear and Operation Social Santa, when you're going into a workplace and somebody asks you, what are some of the different things that a corporate communications major can bring to our organization? What do you think that one of your answers could be?
With me, it's more, I have a very strong passion for mentoring. I think just as far as from a corporate communication point of view, just knowing how to talk to someone, whether it's through social media or in person or some kind of post or regular conversation, just taking them through a kind of their own self journey is huge for me, to realize that you go from one point, like this one point of whatever you think of yourself as, and you have a goal, and just to make sure that a corporation, a person, you know, a team set small goals and reaches those small goals to get to this big picture. So I don't know if I can answer this as like a social media type answer of what I would bring to the table social media wise, because I have such a strong passion for seeing a team or a person just start off as maybe even doubting themselves or just not sure how, you know, to have the confidence to go up to someone and act as, you know, a leader or like be in an administrative role, because they're just not used to it and they don't have that confidence in themselves, or they may just not know how to say it. With me, I think these past 4 years have taught me that, you know, I think everyone you meet has their own journey and you can help them with that. But at the same time, when I'm mentoring someone, I think I learn more from them than they may from me. So I would definitely say with me, it's just being a part of a team, I think is very high up there on one, I think what I would expect from the company itself, just having that atmosphere of being able to help one another, just mentoring one another, kind of being on the same playing field when it comes to that. And even if, I'm a great a huge fan of thinking I don't know everything, and it's okay to admit that I don't know everything. But I think helping someone get to that stage where they can say, yeah, I love learning things and I love taking things in, and I can accomplish what I want to accomplish, but at the same time, when I get there, there's still so much more to learn. And I think, just to tie it back into social media when I can, I think we're just on the surface with it. Like, there's so many platforms, yes, compared to 4 years ago even. So with me, it's just imagine what's going to happen 4 years from now. Something may change tomorrow where I have to learn it in order to pitch it to a company that I apply for. So I guess it's tying everything in it. I kind of rambled for a little bit,
No,
but
that's fine, because I think a lot of what you touched on was less about social media and more kind of to what TrueVoice Media always wants to get into, and that's the social business aspect of it. It's not how many followers, how many Facebook likes, how many people have you circled up with on Google Plus. It's not the important factors. It's the people that you have in your circles, in your corner.
right.
How are they going to bat for you? What are you doing for
Exactly.
them that allows them to kind of have the tools and the information to kind of, support you and your team and your business and the brands that they love? And when you're talking about teamwork and leadership and being open, is the transparency aspect and kind of helping everybody else out. That is a huge factor in being a social business. And eventually everybody is saying that, and I'm sure this is just how it's going to go, that social business will eventually erode. The actual philosophies and principles of it will stay, but it just will be known as business as usual.
Right.
And I think that somebody with your ability to kind of see that and want to nurture that in people and kind of move forward in an organization like that, it's an excellent approach to have. So,
Well, thank you.
oh, you're welcome. And I wish you the best of luck in getting a job and everything and graduating and having all sorts of different fun with that. But before I let you go, I just have one more question.
Sure.
Kind of touching back on the social business, is there an innate value that digital natives such as ourselves bring to an organization?
I would say yes. I think there's a huge value in, to me, I learn every day in a classroom, yes, how to talk to people, how to, coach people on how to talk to others. With social media, it makes the world so small that I think knowing how to do that is huge. You not only are gearing a message towards a person in front of you, or a class, or a room of corporate partners, you can gear it towards the whole world if you're lucky enough to get that audience. But that's, I think that's what people like us dream about, is being able to gear a message towards the whole world. And I think having to literally think about how to do that, I think it's a huge value we can bring, because we have always have that in the back of our minds. We're not just going towards Sally or John or Jill. We're going towards as many people as we can get, and constructing a message or a post or even a word that gets that kind of audience is, I think, a huge, just what we value personally, and what we can bring is we have that mentality. It's what our minds go to. So I think that's, among others, of course, is a huge one that we bring to the table.
A good answer. I think that not, well, the world is obviously, if you're a gigantic brand like Coca-Cola or Reebok or something, the world is obviously is who you're aiming for. But when you're working for a company or a brand that has a smaller reach or different things, your audience, they could be all over the world, but you maybe don't want the entire world. If you get the entire world, that's wonderful. But you really want those people that can really kind of have that same kind of feeling internally that they will share. about your product that you're kind of trying to share, and that's what you were certainly alluding to. So yeah, I completely agree with what you said, and that just the short answer of yes, digital natives can bring an innate value to organizations. So with that, Christina, thank you so very much for being on Social Echoes. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thanks for having me.
You did great.
Thanks.
Where can people go to be social with you?
I am, of course, on LinkedIn. And then my Twitter name is Christina Raim. So it's CristinaRaim. Those are the huge ones. I'm on Google+, of course. Again, I'm on Facebook. You know, we live on Facebook here, but definitely any of those.
And it's cool because isn't it true you can speak three different languages?
I can speak three different languages. This is a fact.
So if you want to tweet to Christina in both, obviously, English, but Portuguese and Spanish, you can go ahead and do that. And I have to say, I'm very jealous. I would love to be bilingual in something.
I suggest it. It's very fun.
It's a topic for another day. But thank you so very much for joining us here on Social Echoes. Next week, we will have a very fun guest, a very interesting guest, Jason, don't call me Sadler, headsets.com. That is actually his full name, Jason, headsets.com. It's a very interesting story from this guy down in Jacksonville, Florida. He will be on to talk about thinking outside the marketing box. That'll be, I guess, next Tuesday. So anyway, if you like the podcast, please find us on iTunes. Leave us a rating. Please subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher Radio. You can find us on the website, truevoicemedia.com/resources. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell anybody that you think could use some social business help, and this would be a good resource for them. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.